Yickety!
Howdy do!
And welcome to another episode of the Sporting Goods Podcast. I'm your boy, Wig.
It's your boy, Trav. How you doing, everybody? What's going on today?
I hope all is good, man, right now. America ain't so good. With all the craziness going on, we'll jump into that. But how's everything on your end, my brother?
Ah, man, I'm actually doing great. With the team, we're doing numbers with the MLB picks. And as well, the NFL preseason officially starts tomorrow. I am so excited about that. So excited. What about you, man?
My bankroll been looking good as of late. We've been on a tear for the past, I want to say, 3 weeks. Only two losing days. They were back-to-back losing days last week. But before that, weren't no losing days. Haven't had any losing days since. Our plus money is on out the roof. Make sure that you follow us on Twitter at SGPodcast305, on Instagram, Sporting Goods Podcast, and then on Facebook. The Sporting Goods Podcast as well. And make sure you get those picks in. We are winning money. We hope you are too. And we're going to jump right into our goods topic of the day, which is the mass shootings that's going around in America. We had two back-to-back in one day in El Paso, Texas, and the other one was in Dayton, Ohio. How you feel about them, bro?
The one in Texas, I don't understand how they allowed this man to walk into a Walmart with an AK-47 when you can't walk out of Walmart with a water bottle.
Exactly.
Without a receipt. I really don't get that. That puzzles me. Like, you don't see this guy carrying this big gun with clips to shoot this whole store up, but much less I went to Walmart just the other day. I had a water bottle, and the guy said, "Oh, where's your receipt?" I was like, "I walked in here with this. You didn't see me?" But go ahead, man. I don't. It's embarrassing for our country, man. Go ahead. You can talk on it.
All right, man. I hear you saying about that it's embarrassing, but honestly, man, to me, it's just a rerun episode. It's not like this is not America. It is exactly what it is. We have domestic terrorists, but yet we put the face of a on Mexicans or Muslims or of course Black people, and we do not address the problem that we have here in America, which is just ourselves. Ourselves are the problem, and it's not like it's just, oh, you know, it's white people shooting up all of these public places. I mean, you could go in almost any neighborhood in America, and you're gonna see public shootings. You're gonna have public murders, and I'm not sure if it's a problem that we have with our gun laws, but regardless if it's gun laws or not, you're gonna have some type of domestic terrorism. Because people know how to create bombs now, you know, and people know how to create chemicals that if you take a sniff, you know, it's going to mess up your neurology.
Yeah.
So it's a brain issue that we have in America, man. Like I'm not surprised, dude. You know, and I don't think America is surprised, and politicians use these type of events to push their agendas. However they want to push it for, you know, like the mass population is saying we need to get rid of assault rifles and stuff. And then you have the people who have the power, who have the money saying, no, we need more people with guns so they could protect the people who do have, could protect the public from the people who do have guns and shouldn't have guns, you know? And it's like, it's nobody who's really there saying, hey, this is a problem. Let's figure out a way to fix it. It's like, this is the problem. Let's figure out a way to make more money from that problem. And that's the problem that I have with America and the politicians.
All right. Yeah. And not to cut you off or anything, but kudos to the Black fella. I believe he was in the Army or he was a Navy vet or whatnot that was rescuing kids. And not to put any race on him, he was actually a Black young man saving kids from the shooting in Walmart. And like, I really appreciate that it's been men of color while And it's no black and white issue or whatnot. But every time someone is shooting something up, it's the opposite person that they say it should be.
Yeah, I hear you.
And the opposite person is actually doing the saving. So
I mean, America have a huge problem with, you know, stating facts for facts. And it's like, because you spent, and when I say you, I'm going to say Trump in this instance. I'm not putting the blame on Trump, but Trump spends his whole presidency talking about getting rid of immigrants, illegal immigrants at least, because they're dangerous to our society. And then when, you know, the people who he speaks for, and I'm going to say it correctly, he speaks for white people or anybody who is on his side, but he only really caters to, in my instance, I'm not sure if this will be accurate, to the Confederate-loving, more redneckish, and I'm not trying to say in a derogatory term, but I mean I'm ignorant to these to these cultures, but that's how I see them as. I mean, that's how I know them as. And if there's a different terminology you guys would like to be called by, please let me know. Let us know in the Sporting Goods podcast, and I will rectify how I said. But he does speak to you guys, and just like the instant where the guy ran over the crowd that was protesting back about 2 years ago.
That's now saving life.
But yeah, instead of him saying, hey, you know, that was dumb, that was stupid, I do not condone that, he tries to equalize the blame on both sides. You know, there's one side speaking their hurt, speaking their emotion, and there's the other side killing. And yeah, so that's the plain difference in this whole situation.
Yeah, and it all goes to say Trump would like to minimize the situation about certain things, but yet the thing he's minimizing, the person is actually doing a life term sentence. So instead of you speaking, oh, we found a way to solve the situation, you speak light of it. And then when it's something such as ASAP Rocky being locked up in Sweden or whatnot, mm-hmm. you speak highly for the fact that you have to so-called save a person of color to, you know, make it seem like, oh, that's my homeboy. I'm doing it because that's my, you know.
Yeah, I feel you on that, man. It's like, I really try not to get too much into the Trump antics because he's hilarious to me, and he's showing the true colors of what America is. This is an American bred citizen who has become president, and he is being so American, so unapologetically American, and everything that America have stood for the past how long America been alive? The two centuries, I would say.
Man, it doesn't three matter no more. America has not changed since those the time has been alive. It may have put a mask on or three or four, but change wise, we're still in the Stone Ages. So, you know, let's change the topic because it's getting depressing to me. But
hey, listen, don't be depressed, dog, because I've told you this before, and I told the podcast this before. No matter what day it is on the calendar is telling you a lie because it's going to always be 1984. Things don't change. There's just different players. The script don't change. The climate don't change. The atmosphere don't change, but the players do. And right now, this Dylan Roof have a different face right now. Right now, Columbine killers, they just have a different face. It's just a different location, but it's the same damn act. And nothing will happen from it. Let's get to the sports. That was the goods that we have. We're going to come right back at you. All right, yeah, we're back with the sporting portion of our episode. We gave you the goods a little earlier. And we're going to get into the NFL. We know that the season has just begun, and there's some promising action going on, as well as some movement, some injuries and things in that nature. Trav, you got some information for us?
Yes, I do. Actually, with the injuries, we're going to talk about There are a couple of players that went down beginning of the training camp. AJ Green, one of the best receivers in the league, is now currently hurt for about 2 months. As well as AB. We don't know how serious the injury is. If for anyone that doesn't know who AB is, Antonio Brown, the new receiver for the Oakland Raiders.
Made in Dade.
Made in Dade. Shout out to Norland. he has a foot injury, and what's to be shown right now, it's from a frostbite. He's been doing the cryogenic therapy for all the they don't know what that is. He basically sits in a little cold chamber and, you know, cools his body down, I guess, or freezes his body.
Are you familiar with, like, what happens with frostbites? Like, because I'm not very sure, because they said that this happened a month ago when he did the therapy, but I've seen footage of him, like, tearing up the training camp. So is he still injured, or he's just now announcing that he messed up back then?
Well, with frostbite, you can lose your foot if you really get frostbite. But I've seen him running previously, so I don't know if it's a, you know, hey, just tell him you got frostbite so you can sit out for a few, you know, a few weeks, or he actually, you know, did it
recovered from it. They just
recovering.
They just announcing it.
Yeah, so it. I don't believe it's a big deal. I believe he should be ready for the last game of the preseason because, you know, they have to play at least the first half with the starters or whatnot.
They so don't have to.
They don't have to, but that's, you know, the normal trend for the NFL teams. So, yeah, I believe it's just for him to, you know, I guess actually get some recovery rest. You know, he is – I'm not saying he's old, but he is a – up in the age receiver. He's 31 years old. So, yeah.
Do you think that should stop you from drafting him high still in the fantasy draft?
Well, to be honest with you, I was going to stay away from AB in fantasy. Take it being he's no longer with his deep throwing quarterback and Ben Roethlisberger.
Mm-hmm.
Two, we don't know what Derek Carr is this year. And three, can you name any other receiver on the Raiders lineup?
I can't.
So that means he's going to be double teamed as he was in Pittsburgh, but to the point where we have a younger quarterback that sees a double team and panics. So we don't know what's going to be in AB's future.
And what about AJ Green? You think AJ Green should be faded for like mid rounds, or he should still be drafted high?
He's going to be drafted high for the fact that he has 2 months to recover, and this was starting July. So September, you know, he's going to be coming back rusty or whatnot, but that's going to be what, 2-3 weeks into the season?
All right.
So, I will still draft AJ high.
I'll be honest, like, I'm not really, you know, that great when it comes to fantasy football. But off the dome, like, just freestyling it, I think no matter what, I'm drafting Antonio Brown before I draft AJ Green.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's, you know, that, like I said, that's to each his own. True. Antonio Brown is going to eclipse 1,000 yards, eclipse 8 touchdowns. That's granted. The key. He's just that type of player. He's just that good.
Right.
But when it comes to, you know, in the season, you know, he does, other than AJ Green, you know, getting injured late in the season from some type of injury, because it's been like that for the last 2 years.
Right. And that's playoff contention for
Exactly. Exactly. So that's why AJ Green, I drafted him a year, 1.5 year ago. So I drafted him and I lost the playoffs because he was out and he was my main receiver threat. So
who else is injured?
Other injuries, it's not no mainstream injury, guys. It's, you know, you have the linebacker for the Jacksonville Jaguars and Quincy Williams that was going to replace. I'm not mentioning that because it's of the team. I mentioned it because of the caliber of the injury.
Oh yeah.
He was to replace Telvin Smith. I don't know if you know what happened with Telvin Smith. Telvin Smith actually did a, you know, year took a year off to himself with the NFL. He's like, he had to stay away from the NFL, so he retired for a year. That's and he was,
I commend that.
He was the top linebacker for the Jacksonville Jaguars. So they drafted this person just to replace Telvin. So
all right, so let's do a little speed round right quick. I'm gonna give you the division. You give me who you think the best team in that division, and a quick 30-second reason of why you think that. Let's go with the AFC East. Who's the best team?
AFC East, I'm gonna stick with the Patriots because of the fact that Tom Brady is Tom Brady.
That's enough said. My favorite team is the Dolphins, and the best team in that division for the past two decades have been New England Patriots, and a couple of teams here and there, about four teams four other years, another team intercepted as the best team in that division. But it hands down New England Patriots. Let's go AFC North.
AFC North. Now, that's a toss-up for me. Right now, with the AFC North, I'm going to leave it at an 8-8 with the Ravens and the Steelers. I don't
Pick
see.
One. Pick one.
I'm going to go with the Ravens. I feel like the Steelers lost too much in their, you know, Le'Veon and AB. Even though Le'Veon didn't play last year.
True.
Their running backs, they say it's James Conner, but we don't know. We don't. Right. It's a group scheme. And we've seen strides in Lamar Jackson that – I'm not going to give him a Michael
Vick. You can't find a way not to be long-winded, boy. I'm going to give you mine. Mine is the Ravens simply because they're bringing back the core of their team from last year. Lamar Jackson got another year under his belt, another offseason under his belt. So, I like their chances to be the top. I'm going to go AFC South right now. I believe it's Houston Texans. Because Deshaun Jackson, same reason, have another year. And I think Deshaun Jackson don't like losing big games. Deshaun Watson. I apologize.
Jackson doesn't play quarterback. But
my fault, Deshaun Watson. Yeah, he don't like losing big games, and I think he got a little vendetta going against Andrew Luck right now, the same way he had against Alabama in his college years. Who you got in the South?
I actually have the Colts.
Colts?
Yes, sir. I have the Colts. I would say Houston, but their offensive line is still trash. So it's
so you be... put you put yourself at number three?
Yes, I did. We haven't proven yet that we are that team of 2017. Once we the first 3 weeks get in, I'm actually gonna bet the over on the Vegas has for the games with Jacksonville.
What is the over?
The over is 8 games. So I like us to win about 9. So
I like it too, to be honest.
So yeah, like it's until we prove who we are, then I could say we're the best. But it's actually Colts because, like I said, this Watson doesn't have a line to protect them, and his defense is still great. So they're gonna be a very good team. It's just. If they don't get any protection, what's to say what's going to happen?
What about the AFC West?
The West? I am going to give – come on, man. Why are you even asking me? I'm going to get the Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs, man. There might be a Super Bowl contender. There might be the Super Bowl players this year, I should say. They might be playing in the Super Bowl, yeah. What about you?
I love them on paper. I love them through history. However, I think Pat Mahomes got to have a letdown year, and I think he's just too hyped right now, and the team is kind of in turmoil with all of these criminal activities that's been going on with their star player. I'm being real. With their star player. So I think San Diego going to sneak in and win that division, to be honest.
Okay, San Diego.
All right, NFC East, what you like?
NFC East. I'm gonna go with the Cowboys. Yeah, I'm gonna go to Cowboys. Well, wait. I'm sorry. Let me change that up a little bit. If they don't give a contract to the running back, what's the kid from Ohio name again? I'm sorry, Dak. I mean Zeke.
Ezekiel Elliott.
I keep forgetting. Prescott, yeah, yeah. Cooper. Dak's gonna get a contract because he's a quarterback, and yeah, he wants big numbers, and no, you're gonna get some regular numbers, guys.
We're gonna address their contract situation after we run through this right quick.
Okay, so the Eagles. I'll go the Eagles if Zeke doesn't get a contract.
I like the Eagles.
The year.
I like the Eagles, even if they don't handle that. Even if they do handle their contract situation, I still like the Eagles. I think Wentz got a lot to prove, as well as that roster is dope, man. It's
the top. The roster is dope, but he hasn't played a full season in the last 2 years. So,
I mean, sometimes that whole playing a full season, it could be overrated when you know you just have talent. Tom Brady missed a whole damn year and came back MVP candidate, dog. So, I mean, and I, you know what? My apologies. I cannot compare Wentz to Tom Brady.
Yeah, that's what you just did, though.
I did, right? My fault. But yeah, still, Wentz got some talent, bro.
He does.
Wentz
does.
Got talent. He does. The roster is talented.
He does.
I like the Eagles. NFC South.
NFC South, I'll give that to the Saints again. Until Atlanta can prove that, you know, they are who they say they are, I'm gonna keep with the Saints.
I think Atlanta is going to fall off drastically. I like them to finish last in that division. And I'm going to go with the Saints as number one, Panthers number two. Who you like in the NFC North?
NFC North. Who do I like in the NFC North?
I'll let you
go
about
first.
It,
you
I'm
go
gonna
first.
Go ahead and...
Yeah, because that division is kind of a toss up to me. But go ahead.
I like Minnesota simply because Green Bay. I don't like this whole. I don't like Aaron Rodgers that much as I used to. He's still talented as hell, but now he's getting a little ahead of himself. I think somebody need to air out his dirty details that he got going behind doors. But I ain't gonna be the one to dish the tea. but yeah, I do like Minnesota, Detroit. They always been iffy as hell, and I can't even think who their fourth team in that division is.
And the fourth team is who I believe.
The Bears.
If the Trubisky gets it right, if he figures out he's a quarterback and not a running back, yeah, I like them to win the division. Yeah, Green Bay.
I think the Bears was like fluke last year because nobody knew exactly what they could do.
So
yeah, but they got footage now, man. I don't like the Bears, to be honest.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like if Mitchell Trubisky says, "All right, so yeah, I'm supposed to throw the ball. I'm supposed to do time passes." Even though they lost one of their main running backs, I believe, you know, they got it right on defense. So all they need to do is get it right on offense. While Green Bay is confused on who they are, and the Vikings are confused on who they are, why not take
them?
Come on, man. Look at the quarterback. Cousins signed a big contract, has
okay.
two talented weapons on the end. His running back was just hurt. Now, put that together, they are contenders. Put that together, they are contenders.
So where's the confusion? Point it out.
The confusion is Cousins doesn't know that he's that good. He doesn't know. He threw, yes, he did his career best. 3,000 yards plus, 30 touchdowns plus two? I believe it was. He did good. Now, him on third down, horrible. Him red zone, horrible. So now,
who's their quarterback the year before Cousins, and they was in the NFC Championship?
Was it Bridgewater? Well, no. He got hurt. The kid that's no longer quarterbacking.
Exactly. You trying to make it seem like Cousins the reason why they're gonna be a downfall. Cousins is a more talented quarterback than what they had before. I don't see no confusion in this team. I think this team is defense heavy with special talent on offense. So I just wanted to question that whole confusion thing because I don't see no confusion in Minnesota. I just think they just got to get their thing.
See, this is what I'm saying. He's very talented. And I said that in the beginning when I started. It's just on third, you need to complete on third down. You need to score in the red zone. So it's, you could do
that. That's not a confusion. I mean, maybe you don't have faith in him and you probably use the wrong terminology saying that the team is confused, but you don't have faith in Cousins. And I can understand not having faith in Cousins, but I think that's a hell of a solid team. They're like one of the best teams to bet with in the past 4 years. Like that against the spread percentage is off the charts, to be honest. They had their worst year last year.
Okay.
In the past 4 years. And the last but not least, NFC West. Who you like?
NFC West, I'm gonna go with the Rams.
Oh, that's an obvious pick.
Yeah, enough said. Nothing else needed.
But my surprise pick is Seattle. even though you like the Rams, my surprise pick is Seattle because I think they are a lot better than they were last year, and that says a lot by itself. I'm not sure how that defense is going to look, but that offense is going to be defensive enough for them and take away a lot of the play time from the opposing teams. And they're so efficient on third down. They're efficient all over the field. So I see their scoring rate being extremely high. I just like Seattle.
Yeah.
All right. I'm gonna let it breathe for a bit. All right, so let's get with contracts because we were talking about it a little earlier with the Cowboys situation with Ezekiel Elliott, Dak Prescott, and Amari Cooper looking for new deals. How do you feel about this situation? Who do you think should get paid the highest according to their position?
Well, I believe the main part of the offense should get paid, and I know you guys in the world of the NFL, everybody think. Oh, yeah, Dak should get paid. Dak. No, I don't believe that. I believe you should pay Zeke. Zeke was the most of the reasons why you were winning. So, yeah, you're going to pay him his numbers. I'm not saying you should pay him that 15 or 20 million or 16 million, 18 million to break the market. No, you should pay him to keep him on your team because, yeah, you can get running backs, you know, and mix and match and to make your offense efficient, but he's the one of the best running backs in the league. Dak is not even a top 15-20 quarterback in the league. I'm saying he's top 20, but not top 15. But
all right,
that's with fair. Amari is a top 10. See, we're not gonna forget the type of talent he had that 1 year in Oakland. So he's a top 10 receiver. And last year as well. He's a top 10 receiver in the league. So I believe it should go running back, wide receiver, and quarterback. Sorry to say, even though quarterbacks is where it's at in this league, Dak is not that quarterback. He's a system quarterback. So
I agree with you almost. I mean, matter of fact, I kind of agree with you 100%, man, because Dak, I don't – And I hate to count somebody else's dollars. And I love that for what he's doing. Get your money, black man, please. Don't be out here just getting concussed and you ain't got, like, generational wealth. Go for your generational wealth at all times. Unfortunately, there's a salary cap in the NFL. And when you have two high-octane position players, they need to be compensated for that. If you want to win the Super Bowl, somebody got to be humble. I think Zeke should be a little more, because Zeke want to be paid the highest. He want that Todd Gurley deal. Yeah, and I think he should humble himself a little bit because, dude, you don't have a good track record of being able to be on the field and not because you're hurt. Like, you're not on the field because your head not screwed on right. So you should humble yourself a little bit if you want a championship. But if you don't want a championship, be upfront, say, I want the max deal, I want to be the highest paid, or I want to play for somebody else because championships is not really what I want to do. I want to ball out, but I want to ball out, you know what I'm saying, on the field and in my pockets. I don't really care about the championship. I just want to ball out. And I think he's and it's hard to be that truthful, because when you're that truthful, then everybody want to punish you, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's what I don't like about the NFL. It's like it's same thing with the NBA, same thing with the NCAA. It's a whole bunch of rich white dudes who wanna humble all the black athletes and you know, hush them out. Mm-hmm. They can't say certain things. They can't take a knee for certain things. They can't take action for this. They can't speak their mind. And it's just getting tiresome. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get you.
In my instance, Amari Cooper should get paid the highest, but I don't even think he should get paid as like a top five receiver. I think he should get paid as the number 10 receiver in the league. And that's still pretty high, but at the same time, you know, he should be on the same range as Jarvis Landry or a little bit higher than me.
Okay.
All right, so let's end the NFL right now and let's get into the NBA. We're going.
Wait, before we get to the NBA, let's stay with football. The top 25 for the 2019 season has come out, the preseason top 25.
Oh, for the NCAA, okay.
Yeah. So let me go through the list very briefly. At 25, they have Boise State. 24, okay. They have Northwestern. 23, Missouri. 22, Michigan State. 21, Virginia Tech. Number 20, Nebraska. Number 19, UCF. Number 18, Iowa. 17, Auburn. 16, Wisconsin. I apologize. 15, Utah. 14, Washington. 13, Penn State. 12, Oregon. 11, Texas A&M. Number 10, this is the top 10, Notre Dame. Number 9, Texas. Number 8, Florida. Number 7, LSU. Number 6, Michigan. Number 5, Oklahoma. Number 4, Georgia. Number 3, Ohio State. Number 2, Alabama. And number 1, of course, our defending national champion, Clemson Tigers. So with that list, who do you feel was cut short and left out? And who do you feel was too high? And who do you feel was robbed and was put too low?
I hate this SEC love that NCAA have. Number 7, Florida. It's laughable. It's okay. Extremely laughable. If you're going to put...
Oh, they're number 8. No, Florida's number 8.
I'm sorry.
You're good. You're going to bet against them this year?
Am I going to bet against them this year?
Yes, sir.
No. I'm not betting against them a lot. I might bet with them more. Then okay. I will bet against them. However, if they're number 8 and UM is not top 25, then basically you're telling me Florida's for the dog UM in game 1. And I know UM have quarterback issues, but that's all they have.
So you're looking for the spread to be plus 14 points?
It better be. Because if it's not plus 14 points, then why are they number 8? And why UM is not top 25? See, that's the only problem that I have. That's why I don't really like talking rankings and playoff potential when it comes to NCAA, because it's so much favoritism and so much bias that comes with whoever conference gives the NCAA the most money, that's who we think is the best. It's not really about talent, because they always bump up these SEC teams. But if you're looking like the bowls and you're looking at the non-conference games,
they don't do that well. Yeah. They don't. Three, four wins at most. But, yeah. So you saying UM is bumped out. You don't like the fact that they're bumped out. You're saying
I could respect it. But okay. have a reason, because I know they're not going to have that UF Miami game in double digits for the spread. I know they're not. The spread
they do. I'm going be about with UM.
Between 5 and 8.
Yeah. If they do double digits, I'm going with UM.
I have to.
Yeah.
That's what you're telling me right now. I should look at Bovado and see what the line is and hurry up and put my bet in, because it's supposed to be double digits. Yeah. If Florida is number 8, we have the same problem that Florida have. They don't have quarterback play. We don't have quarterback play. But I bet you this, anybody in the league will take our defense over any defense on SEC that's not named Alabama or LSU.
True.
Right or wrong?
True. That's true. All right. So what is your team that you feel is too low that's on that list?
Once again, it's hard to say because of the bias in the NCAA. Mm-hmm. They're not. I think UCF is still not getting the respect that is that they deserve, and they still
I agree 100% with you.
And that quarterback is dope, dude.
He's great. He's going to be really good in the league. I believe UCF should be at least 12, 11.
Right.
Oregon, yeah, I believe they're kind of too low as well. If Justin Herbert staying healthy, they're going to be really good. They don't have that defense like everybody wants them to have, but their offense is going to score 50, 60 points a game. That's going to be crazy. Another team that's left off and is not it's Tennessee. You don't like the SEC, but Tennessee, they have now a good quarterback. They have a solidified offense. Their offense was good last year. They just didn't have a quarterback. Now they got a transfer kid out of where did he come from? It doesn't even matter, but he's a good kid. He's a four-star recruit, and their defense was always good. So,
all right. Based off history, do you think they should be top 25? Based off history.
Based off history, what they do every year.
The past 3 years have they looked like a top 25 team in the past
3 years? They jump into the 25 top 25.
No, I didn't ask that. Right back do out. They look like a top 25 team in the past 3 years? No, that's no. So I don't think that's a rob. I don't think he got robbed at all.
Who is too high? Yeah, I'm not that keen on Florida, as well as I'm not that keen on Texas. Those two teams, I believe, if they're gonna stay in the top 25, they should be in the 15 through 18 ranking.
I like Texas. Simply because of Tom Herman, and I like what they looked like last year. They looked pretty decent last year.
Okay,
but let's get into the NBA. Let's take a quick break. Get into NBA.
All right.
All right. Now we're back with the with some NBA news. Not much today. We're just going to talk about briefly LeBron James' social criticism. One, about Taco Tuesdays, and now we're hearing reports that people believe he's being a little racist by mocking Mexicans. And then the other one is his enthusiasm. I'm not even sure. I'm
you said that right. Over enthusiasm. But,
I might be extremely wrong. They'd be like, this nigga. But his support for his son and how he acts at the game. And I'm going to get my quick rebuttal. I think the NBA, the sports world, and ESPN is trying to eliminate LeBron's greatness before he retires. I don't think the NBA is ready to move on from Michael Jordan greatness. I don't think the ESPN wants to have LeBron James as the king of sports for too much longer because of what it's doing to the other entities of sports, like the NCAA, like MLB, and like the running backs in the NFL. Players, athletes are starting to realize they are in control. They have the talent, and they can go around the world with their talent, and they're trying to hush LeBron James. So they're making him to seem like a villain. There's no way you could be a villain when you are very proud of your son's ability to do what he's doing. There's no way you could be a villain when you spend family time every Tuesday. You spend the family time. You're having fun with your family. And it's not, he said nothing derogatory about Mexicans. If he's mocking, if you consider it mocking the way that they speak, or the way that they act, he's not doing it in a way where you're saying Mexicans are dirty, dumb, stupid, ugly, or anything. Only thing he's doing is saying Mexicans like tacos, and I feel that way because I thought tacos came from Mexico.
So,
I thought it was like a Mexican dish.
So wait, what was the soundbite? Because I didn't I didn't catch that. Basically
he said today is Taco Tuesday.
Man, come on, get out of here.
Exactly, bro.
Come on, man. So if I'd be like, I'm at the bar drinking. I'm picking on Irishmen. Come on, man. You're being ridiculous now. You're just trying to find the wrong in something a man is doing when he's actually enjoying himself. So
he's enjoying his family. He's being a father and a husband.
That you guys are being ridiculous. Saying, come on now. That's absurd to me. Like, find something else to talk about. Say something else about his brand. Just for you to say, oh, he Taco Tuesday, and because he did it in a different accent, that's, we can say a lot of stuff about a lot of people that right. you know, going off of how they say it. So that is just plain ridiculous to me. Yeah.
And then to go with the him being too over dramatic when it comes to his son dunking in a basketball game. I'm not sure, but I don't think he recorded himself. But there are people like the same thing with LeVar Ball. You invite him to a show to speak about his kid and then say he's too involved in his kid's life. That makes no damn sense. If you think LeBron is doing too much, you think LeVar is doing too much, take the camera off of him.
Exactly. That's all I say. That's all you really have to do.
Mute him. You think he's doing too much?
Don't go to his kids. Don't go to his kids' games.
Don't go.
Don't record. Don't stand by his kids. Don't speak on his kids.
Don't.
If you cut his kids off, guess who else you cut off?
If you are a viewer who are tired of these quote unquote antics that him and LeVar Ball are doing, when you see them on the show that you're watching, there's a channel button that can go up and down. There's numbers on that remote as well that you can actually go to the channel that you want. You don't have to watch. He is being a good father. LeVar Ball is being a great father. And the BS needs to stop with LeBron when it comes to his social life. Enough is enough, man. Stop trying to tear down our kings. And I'm going to say it just like that. You have anything else to say about that situation?
Pretty much. Oh, we can talk about the... You know, it's not called the Rich Paul rule, but you might as well call it the Rich Paul rule.
Right. And I'm glad that you brought that up. I'm gonna list the rules. It's basically saying you have to have a bachelor degree. You have to be MBPA certified for at least 3 years. You have to maintain a professional liability insurance, and you must submit an application by the appropriate deadline. And the application process itself is pretty money hungry. Annual fee, and I know NCAA is like chunk change to them, but still, they're basically saying that in order for an agent to talk to basketball players, you have to have these requirements. And I had no, I mean, LeBron made it the Rich Paul rule. And I do think that they are attacking Rich Paul. Another person in mind is Kawhi Leonard's uncle. I don't really know his name.
Yeah, we just call him Unc because he's smart. He kept his name out the media. they have his name, but for the majority of the time frame, they cut his name out to me. Yeah. So it's like, hey, it's a lot of people that basically profited off of this by just saying, hey, I'm an agent for this player, and this player happened to be great.
And like I said earlier about they're trying to silence LeBron, and they don't like the things that LeBron have. They don't like the move that the LeBron
accomplishments
changed.
He have.
Yeah, yeah. He changed professional. He changed professional athletes' mindset. You have control over your own life. It's gonna get to a point when high school players realize that the NCAA is not the only way to be a professional basketball player.
You don't have to say it like that. They've already realized. It's plenty of five-star recruits, blue chip players that has decided to go play overseas already.
I think that's a little more overhyped, because it's not that many, actually. It's only about 3 or 4 5-star players this year, and there have been players in the past. The one that I know for a fact is Brandon Jennings, mm-hmm. Who decided to go overseas instead of playing in the NCAA. So and now, what they're trying to pitch to these high school players is that there's no experience like the college experience. Man, I'm teaching my kids, boy, if you got the talent to make money to do what you want to do, go ahead and start making money. You don't have to learn how to make money if you already have what it takes to make money. And you can actually learn on the way how to be a professional, just like you can learn in those 4 years how to be a professional in college. It's the mindset of the person. It is not the damn system. NCAA did not make greatness for these basketball players. These basketball players were born with the greatness, and NCAA provided a platform for them to show their talent, but they also are basically I'm gonna say in hood terms, they dicking these players over because you can't have a job, bro. You can't make money off your name. It was a DN for UM who made beats. He couldn't get the only thing he was able to get was a credit for the beats he made for Ross and Drake, but they wouldn't let him get a payment for creating those beats. So you can't even be a rapper and make money from your tunes, from your raps, if you're in the NBA. I mean, if you're in the
One more thing I have to say about that is, yeah, you know, I hope these kids find, you know, like I said, I saw a thing I was reading the other day. A kid was like, so wait, if I know how to rap and I want to be a rapper, I can't get any type of payment from Spotify, Apple Music, anything.
Mm-mm. That's a no-no.
Because of the fact that I'm in college and I play sports. Now that makes no sense to me. Like, so
how it's do you exploitation want these, at its finest, dog. That's
how do you
all
want
these
kids to survive? Like, even if he decided to go work at Wendy's, he has to work at Wendy's for free.
he might as well don't work. I mean, it's like it's just exploitation. It's like, hey, listen, if you want to play basketball and you want to be in the NBA, you need to follow my rules, and you just sit in your dorm and you sign autographs at school events. You can't sign autographs nowhere else, only at school events. It's like, that's BS, bro. That's BS.
It's crazy.
What? But that's our show for the day, man. I'm your boy Wig.
It's your boy Trev.
Yikity.
Howdy do.
And we'll see y'all next time.